Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Get Microschooled with Kale Education and Company. I am Jill. I'm here with Susan, aka Wanda.
I knew you were going to say that.
I had to.
I knew it.
How you doing?
I'm good. We're back together on this one.
I know we're back together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We're going to see how that goes.
Yeah. Be nice.
We are using the same system. We just happen to be sitting together today. Mm-hmm. So, and I was all ready to retry the thing from home.
Oh, I'm down with that.
I was prepared.
My phone's about to die though. So.
Yeah, that was what did it.
Yeah.
Oh, I see a picture. I'm looking at her phone. Have we told them the story of the doggies?
No.
Susan and I have so many weaved threads.
Yes,
of
we do.
Life.
Yes, we do.
This was before we left our other job.
It was.
Mm-hmm. I wanted a dog. I've
a
always had dogs.
Kind of dog.
I've always had dogs in my life, and I had been. We had lost our last dog, probably a year. I think I was a year without a dog, and I was about to like. I had to have a dog.
Okay.
And I really love Basset Hounds. Mm-hmm. I just think they're cute and they're sweet and they're great family dogs. And
I like them because they're about my speed, which is what I told you.
This is the other thing, right?
They are my speed.
They don't require, like if you have to work a long day, they don't require long walks.
They don't care.
Or, mm-hmm. you know.
They're just happy to lay on your lap or correct. On the floor and let you pet their belly.
Yes.
It's all they need.
They are a perfect midlife.
Low maintenance.
Dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And so I was telling Susan that I wanted to get this dog and it was a great distraction at the time.
Oh, it was definitely.
Like it was something that we could do.
It was COVID. Like it was around. It was, it was right before, I guess, maybe.
It was right before
COVID. It was right before, yeah.
And we were in our offices and we were looking at these dogs and it took our mind off other things that we probably should have been doing instead, but it's fine.
It was way more pleasant.
It was way more pleasant. And so I found one and I went and I got it. And I don't know if you really thought I was serious, like it was really going to happen. I don't know.
No, that happened much easier in your home than it does in my home.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No offense, Dev, but I know who's running stuff. In your
home. Oh, we don't tell any. And so we had found the puppy and we were going to get the puppy. And so I send you a picture or something probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they've got more than one.
They had one left, a brother.
One left, the brother. And so she adopted the brother.
I sure did.
So I have Baxter and she has Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And they look, I mean, a lot alike.
A lot alike. Yeah. Mine's cuter. Doesn't have the physical restraint yours has.
Hers lives a life of freedom on the farm. Mine lives a life of luxury.
On the couch.
On the couch. And I said, I always say to the boys, I'm like, because it'll get really cold and I'll worry about Bear because, you know, I don't want him to have to be outside. Or it'll be really hot and I worry about Bear because I don't want him to be too hot.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And so I said the other day, boys, I really think we should go get Bear and like, let him be inside with us. It's been a few weeks ago. And Kaylin goes, I can tell you this.
Mm-mm.
He goes, what? And I go, yeah, Bear wants to be with us, Kaylin. And he goes, Bear does not want to be with us. Have you seen Bear's life?
He's loving it.
That's amazing. He's with the goats and the chickens.
They're all
and the
friends.
Other dogs and the mm-hmm. goats.
Uh-huh.
They're like, Jill, he would be miserable.
Oh, he's very
at
happy.
Our house.
He's very, very happy.
And then they informed me that I was actually just not being fair to Baxter.
Yeah.
And that Baxter would really prefer to live on the farm.
I mean, he's a happy dog.
To which my husband was like, yes, Baxter wants to live on the farm.
He's too certified. He's already.
He is way too sad.
That's like trying to take you to the farm.
Correct. I mean, I go home at night and Baxter's like, where's my bone? He's waiting for the bone. He goes and he sits in my lap and I hold it and he chews his bone.
Oh my gosh.
And then we have some dinner and he runs around with the kids a little bit, goes outside, comes back and lays on my heated blanket because I'm under my heated blanket. That's Baxter's life.
Yeah, that. So yeah,
chases a cat here and there
when he's really feeling
when he's
feisty.
Really feeling frisky. He goes after a cat, and then it's time for bed, and he gets in his little cozy bed, and he snuggles down and starts snoring.
Well, okay, that's Precious.
Precious,
but Bear does have his running mate Finley out there. We have the lab, which is the whole reason why I got the bear because, like, people swear that these labs are just fantastic. Mm-hmm. What I need you to hear me say is I will never have another one, ever. Like, she doesn't grow up. She's obnoxious. It requires a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess I like my dogs like I like my relationships.
Oh, my God. Folks, I don't know where this is going.
I really.
There's so many things I'm thinking.
I know. And, like, I really wanted to stress you out.
Okay, go ahead.
Pause. Mm. I like my dogs like I like my relationship, Jill. Low maintenance.
Low maintenance. Oh my gosh. Further, keep going.
That's it.
I don't know what that means.
I need
though.
To stop. I need,
you
like,
need your dogs.
I need, like, you know, that bar, that expectation, like, you know?
Yeah.
I need that low for me to be successful in, like, relationships.
Oh my God.
Bear does that for me. He like he
has low expectations.
It's low expectations, my kids. Low expectations. I mean, I've got a dinner cooking in the crock pot right now.
What?
Their minds will be blown when they go
Wanda.
Home. Wanda went by the store without being asked by the husband to pick up milk yesterday. Now I'm not even I can't make this up. I can't make it up. But here's the thing. Like, you got to monitor the expectations.
Okay.
Because then if I were to do that all the time, people would be like, where's dinner? When you go to the store? Now, see, they don't ask me that. They're just like, oh, Mama, I went to the store. See, Jill, it's all how you manage it.
Well, folks, there you go. All because I saw a picture of Bear on her phone.
And that's how that starts.
I love it. I
okay.
love it.
There you go, Jill.
Okay. Well, that was a good story hour. So the episode today, I have been seeing online lots of questions about enrollment. Mm-hmm. It's that time of year, you
it
know,
is.
People who are getting ready to open a micro school maybe are thinking about how am I going to get my first students. People that have been in this are probably thinking, how am I going to get ready to do some enrollment for next year? Or maybe you're already enrolling for next year. Or maybe, you know, like us, you never really stop enrolling.
No.
You just kind of keep going.
Just keep enrolling.
Just keep going. And so we do something called open enrollment, which just means if we have a spot available, then we'd love to
Which
bring
is funny
you on
in and of itself, because it doesn't matter when we're full, because we always have a spot
I know.
Available.
This does eventually become a problem.
It's problematic.
And I think because we never thought it might be a problem
for
is
sure.
also another reason where we're like,
so
absolutely, come
lesson
on in, come
one,
on in, come
friends. It is hard to say no.
It's very hard to
it's
say
hard
no.
to say no, especially when you know the kiddo needs you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
no is hard.
We do not have that ability.
No.
But the question, that I've been asked from time to time is, how did you grow? And we are in year three mm-hmm. of our micro school. And when we opened year one, we had 10 kids.
Yes.
And this year we have 70
mm-hmm.
kids. So we have grown from 10 to 70 in 2 years.
Yes.
That seems crazy now.
It does.
Yeah.
When you say it
yeah.
out loud.
Yeah. So if we think back all the way to 2021, August 2021 is when we officially opened, but we started working on it in the evenings in April.
Yes.
Before we opened. So we would work all day and then go
work
home and
night.
Work all night,
mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out how we were going to kind of get this off the ground. And we actually, in April, from April of 21 to, well, for a few months, we had 3 kids,
mm-hmm.
none of which were paying.
No, nope, nope.
3 free children. Mine, hers, and one other girl who was helping us get everything started.
Yes.
And that was it. And we weren't sure who was coming.
We weren't. This is coming? A true story.
We weren't sure. And then we ended up getting our fourth student, our first official paying student.
This is my favorite.
Tell the story.
At the Panera Bread.
Yep.
Panera.
We were sitting at Panera.
At local Panera, we didn't even have a space because I will tell you that's going to be hard.
Yeah, like, space is hard.
Space is hard to find. And so we weren't sure where we were going to be. We hadn't finalized a lease or a place to
rent.
We
had an idea. I think we, at that time, we kind of knew. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have any of it finalized.
Yeah, I don't think it was official yet. And so we met these parents at this couple. Mm-hmm. At a local Panera Bread, and I mean, I couldn't believe it. And like brilliant people, and just asked some great questions and were really able to give us some grace on in terms of where we were and in seeing our vision. Mm-hmm. So I think we were very clear, I think, early with our vision for kids.
That's true.
And so they said, okay. So that was paying customer number one.
That was paying customer number one.
Yeah.
And then I would say we started tutoring in the evenings as well.
Hands down, I would say that's the best.
That's what did it, I think. Because I had a background in reading. And so people knew I did that. And so then they knew we had started to do it. Susan is fantastic with math. She can also do reading, though she'll tell you that she doesn't. But she can. And so I think people knew us and trusted us with that part of the academic piece. Mm-hmm. And so we started opening spots for that in the evenings, and that filled pretty quickly.
The tutoring filled really quickly. Yeah. And they didn't all come on board, mm-hmm. but it was a way to at least get a couple of other paying kiddos for sure.
Yeah.
So just know, I mean, I would say even with the tutoring, it's definitely going to help. Plan to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or enrichment classes.
Do really something anything. To get kids in front of you.
Yep.
Kids and families in front of you would be huge. So whatever your thing is, because we all have our own niche or, you know, mm-hmm. But whatever that is, do that in conjunction with starting your school, I think, or prior to starting your school, because that's the best way to get families and kiddos in front of you.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would say the one thing that we found to be true with a lot of educators, but definitely with micro school educators, it's definitely you have a passion that you want to share with children, right? Yeah. And so the micro school works well because you can deliver learning in a different environment. And so really be cognizant and thoughtful of that way in which you wanted to deliver your learning that's going to be different. Really be you and stay true to that. Like stay true to that and figure out ways to get kiddos in front of you.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Ours happened really to be great. Tutoring, but it made perfect sense because of, like you said, your background in reading.
Right. Yes. And yes.
So I mean, it made sense.
That's what we did. It was a natural thing. Mm-hmm. But I see all kinds of cool things online from people that are doing various things. Like they love to cook with kids or they love to – I've got my friend Kate in St. Louis is – doing all kinds of STEM things. Mm-hmm. That is super cool. So, you know, I think you take your passion and make it your business.
Well, we have another, I mean, I don't know that they refer to themselves as a micro school, but we have another private school in town and they're, the school is City Garden. Mm-hmm. And I hope they're okay with us saying that. We don't know them. We're giving them a plug. So I assume they're okay. But, you know, like they're very different than we are. Mm-hmm. Like their goal and what they plan around is to have kids outside a whole lot. And so I know from the inception of that school, that was something they sold. They sold hard.
Yeah.
And they stayed true to that mission. Yeah. And I think that you're going to want the right people to join your school, right? And so it doesn't do anybody any good to enroll people and have a constantly evolving door.
Right.
People coming in, people leaving, people coming in, people come leaving. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a small business owner. You want your customer base, I think, to be pretty solid and you want to have a lot of repeat business. And I think the same kind of applies here. if you do what you do really, really well, stay true to that. Mm-hmm. Because it's really easy, just like in any role in education, you get pulled one direction, mm-hmm. then you get pulled the next direction. And before you know it, this dream that you had, you're kind of away from your niche, you're what you are, right? And whatever that is. And I would just say that's another school who has, it's grown. Yep. I mean, I don't know that it's grown as quickly, but we're very different in what we offer. Yeah,
you have to be looking for those things, which I think is what makes it.
I think that's what cool makes it great. Yeah. I mean, so if families are looking for what they're offering, they're not coming to us.
Nope.
And that's fantastic because they're not going to be happy if they did come to us. Mm-hmm. But if families are looking for what we're offering, they're not going to be happy here.
Yeah.
Or they're not going to be happy there.
Right.
Because it's not going to fill that void.
Yeah.
And so be really
find your
to
niche.
Yourself.
Yeah. Find your niche.
See how Jill wrapped that up?
I love that.
She ended it for me. Find your niche.
And people will ask. I remember because when we first opened, we were K-2 and we did that intentionally.
For about 2 seconds.
We did it intentionally because our kids were going in the second and we were like, okay, well, the whole thought was we'll just matriculate up with the kids. As they go to third, we'll add third. And as we do fourth, we'll add fourth. That was a great theory.
Yes.
But what happened was the kids that we were tutoring said, we would like to come. Will you take kids that are older? And so that happened naturally through that.
And then there's siblings.
And then
siblings. That was the other thing. And then, but we don't want to have two different drop-offs in the morning. So could you take the older siblings? Yep. Well, sure, we could take the older siblings.
And then that just continues to grow. Yes. So, and that can happen regardless of how you start. But I think if you're going to have an end goal of a micro school, having something that brings people into what your passion is a good start. Mm-hmm. Idea 2 is the worst advice ever. If you're new, you don't want to hear it.
Oh gosh.
But it is
you'll
so
be like, you'll roll
true.
Your eyes. You'll roll your eyes.
Because I can remember people saying it to us, and it is the last thing you want to hear. But the answer is word of mouth and period.
Yep, that's it. That's why you have to nail that number one. You've got to nail that number one because people will feel your passion. They'll feel your excellence in whatever that niche is. And word of mouth will spread like wildfire.
It will.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It'll also spread like wildfire if it's not great.
Yeah.
So be really, when you're launching things and planning things and getting in front of families, make sure it's your best because it's your best in what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Because the word spreads, period.
Yeah. And we had lots of open houses. Like our very first year, we would have open nights where we were just there from 4:30 to 6:30. And sometimes we would have several families. And when I say several, I mean like 6 or 7.
But it felt like a lot.
It felt like a lot. And sometimes we would have none. And those were the hardest nights. Like you just feel bad and you're like, oh my gosh, this is never going to happen. But then someone would hear you're going to have it the next week and they would come. And those beginning days they can be really tough. You can get down on yourself pretty fast. So I would say when you go into this, you're going to want to plan for a couple of years. I mean, it's going to take a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you want to hear when you're starting out. But it does take that long for people, unless you're in a really small town. And then I think it can happen faster. There's so many businesses in our town. It takes a while for people to know you exist.
And that I think you're serious about what you're doing.
Like we're going to stick around.
We garnered up a lot of interest.
Yeah.
I think so, like, let's say in all those open house nights we did, maybe 30 families.
Yeah.
Like, let's say we did, I don't know, 4 or 5. We ended up with like roughly 30 families. Mm-hmm. I don't know that very many of them matriculated.
Yeah.
But I think they were all really interested in what we were doing and they all loved the concept.
Yes.
And so they started following us and then their friends started following us. So even though they might not have been looking or even able to afford any sort of alternative way to educate their kiddo, they were interested enough to come and then they started following us, which I know is going to lead you into your next idea, which is important, but that social media piece. Mm-hmm. So then they started following us and then their friends started following us and that's
what does it.
Yeah.
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 No, I think you're exactly right. And really, I mean, she's right. Out of 30 or 40 contacts, you might enroll one.
Yeah. The matriculation was low for sure.
Yeah. And so, but I think, you know, people are talking about it. And so that's what you want. You want people talking about it. And that's the next thing, social media. And whatever your taste in social media is, whether you like it or don't like it,
doesn't really matter.
Yeah. You just have to do it.
Yes.
Even when you don't want to. And I mean, we would spend hours looking at each other. Like I don't even know what to say.
For sure.
I don't know what to say. I don't know how to post. We didn't know how to use Canva. No. I didn't even know what Canva was.
I had never heard of it.
So that whole marketing piece was
all
really
of our
tough.
Young listeners are like laughing at us right now.
They really are. They just jump on a TikTok.
Yeah, they do.
And
they
go.
Just and they rock it out.
They do.
We might have had to drink a lot just to make a Facebook post.
We have
felt good about.
I will never delete our early.
Oh my gosh.
Videos. The lady that helped us get started on all that, God love her, Tia Hopper. If you're listening, I mean that was like. You were,
she is
God
a
bless
rock
you.
Star. Yeah, she is a rock star.
She was like, girls, just talk. Just talk.
Please just talk.
And she was right. You know, and we'd send, I remember that very first video. Now I'm so embarrassed. Now, you know, she's probably laughing, but it was, oh my gosh. We were so used to being really serious. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
We did videos, but like, it was, you were serious.
We didn't get to have a lot of fun.
It was scripted.
Yeah.
And like,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, so to get on and just talk was hard.
Mm-hmm. About your passion.
Yeah.
You know.
And we did not know what to mm-mm. say. We were awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. But you do just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn a lot through it. And I don't know. You just have to get on and do it. Mm-hmm. Look at other people's stuff. Go to
That's
other
good.
Micro schools. We didn't know.
No.
We didn't know there were other micro schools out there. I didn't know what the concept mm-hmm. was. We knew there were private schools, but we didn't really have a ton to look at to kind of gather inspiration. And so if you're listening, you're probably on several Facebook
right.
groups. And so go look at what other people are doing and just steal their ideas. Like you don't,
yeah.
it doesn't have to be brand new.
Mm-mm.
Take what they're doing, turn it into what you're doing and just post it.
Yep.
Because, and our videos would always get the
Tons.
Videos, you got to do some videos. And that's really, I think what spread us quickly. We did not want to do it. It was embarrassing and awkward and
a lot
hard,
of traffic,
but
yeah.
it got a ton of traffic.
Yeah.
And so put your face out there, and just get on. And then the third one is also not something you probably want to hear.
Well, and we heard conflicting things about, like when we talked
we
to
did.
Friends who were small business owners,
yep.
we've heard
this
like,
is tough.
Yeah. But like,
I say, don't pay yourself for a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of people will say profit first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a whole strategy
mm-hmm.
where you do pay yourself
mm-hmm.
first. We just couldn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Now, I don't know. And by all means, get a lot of information, collect a
mm-hmm.
lot of information from your friends that you know that are business owners. We were told by a couple different people
mm-hmm.
that we needed to make sure we paid ourselves. But Jill's right. Like,
I don't know how we would have.
I will say that when we took our loan out, we took a very, very, very small loan.
Yes.
When it comes to like small, like it was very small, something that we knew because we had young kids. I mean, if this didn't go, we couldn't ruin our families.
Yes.
Right. I mean, we couldn't.
Yeah. We had enough in the bank to pay it back ourselves. And split
and
it
walk
and
away.
Go and walk
yeah.
away if we
mm-hmm.
had to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we asked for the money.
Yeah. And so I don't know if maybe other people figured in some, you know, like
yeah.
a couple months worth
that's
of payments
right.
into that initial
yeah.
loan. And that would definitely be one way to do it. For us, we just didn't. And it was tight, you know? So like when we left the school district we were in prior, we like any kind of money that
we were hoarding money.
We were hoarding money.
I did plan. I've said this on other episodes. I mean, my husband's a teacher as well. And so my admin salary was I was the breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so he couldn't, his monthly paycheck wouldn't pay our mortgage and bills.
Mm-mm.
And so I saved for a whole year in anticipation
mm-hmm.
of not getting paid for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that that was coming. Not everybody can do that, but I think you just have to figure out what works for your family.
And you also, and I think this is a good time to mention that, like pair yourself with things that you can do that are kind of in line with your micro school
mm-hmm.
mission, but can also can be another means of income. So for example, Jill had consulted
mm-hmm.
many years ago. And so for her, she had lots of contacts with smaller school districts, and she was really confident and rightfully so, that she could go back into the consulting world and pick back up. So that was going to kind of help funnel some of that income for a while until we could start paying ourselves through the school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, be thinking about ways. So like whether it was the tutoring helped me pay some things for a while. So whether it was tutoring, whether it was consulting, come up with ways that you can, maybe alternative means of income, but that are also kind of tied to your overall goal, I feel like.
Yeah. Yep.
And then trust the process. Like just.
You got to be ready. Yeah. I think if you can't, if you don't feel like you're ready to take that leap and know that it could be a little while. Because I don't think we paid ourselves anything for like 6 months. And then then we started at like 500 a piece.
She said, I'm going to try. I'm going to try 500.
1,000 a piece. which we all know isn't like, that's not livable. Yes.
I mean, right? You can't even buy groceries right now, but that's another episode.
But we were really proud of the $1,000 that we made early on. And you will be too. It'll feel really, really good the day you get to pay yourself. But you do have to trust the process. It's coming, but you do have to do the groundwork. You can't just like jump and say, I'm going to do it. You got to have a plan.
Yes, definitely have
a plan. And so then going back to just some simple things, as soon as you can pay someone to do some of your marketing, I would recommend that. We paid Tia upfront to help us get started, which was great. She helped us with the website and the redesign and all of the things that we needed when we first got started. And so then we had a parent who did some social media and wanted to help us for free. God love her. She helped us for free for a long time.
But which do was that. So I mean,
great. Take them up on it.
Yes, take them up on it. And, it's okay to exchange some tuition at the beginning. Like, because we did that a lot. I mean, if you don't have people in your corner that are awesome, I mean, and it's great because they're also parents. So, people that were vested. They needed this school to be successful. And so nobody was talking about us more than those first couple parents. And so what if we were trading out tuition or part of tuition for that?
Right.
In the long run, those parents are all still with us today. Yep. Those first parents are, you know, I think all but one of those initial 10 families, 8 families or whatever, they're all still with us.
Yeah.
And, that's what you want because they were all in this process together with us. And that made a big difference because they all have talents and skill sets that they were really willing and able to share with us because like Jill said, they were vested.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still feel like we don't ask enough what everybody does, you know, like we learned that a dad does a lot of video marketing. He's a genius in that area. And we're like, oh, that'd be great. And he goes, of course I'll help. And it's like, oh, you just kind of forget.
Yeah. I found that out at parent teacher conferences first semester. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Let's chat.
Yeah. He does amazing work. So now we've pulled him on the team, you know? So as soon as you can pay for some of that, it does boost things faster.
Pay or trade is
pay
when
or trade.
You can.
Yeah. Pay or trade. Get some shirts.
For sure.
Wear your shirts.
Yeah.
We are close. I told Susan my goal. We just got some new shirts. They're awesome. It's taken us 3 years to have shirts that I really like.
That's a true story.
We have tried so many iterations of shirts and they've been fine.
Materials.
But this time.
We rocked it.
They're good. Yeah. They're so good. And somebody else did it.
One of our parents did it.
One of our parents did it. And my goal is to have one every day. So I'm going to buy some more.
I'm a uniform.
I'm going to wear a Kale shirt every single day. I don't have to think about it. I can just get up and put it on. And then your husband is going to wear them because he loves to wear local business shirts.
Yes, he does.
And he needs some of ours.
I
should think so. So yeah, get shirts, wear them, let people know, let people ask, oh, what is that? What do you do?
We sponsored got a lot of people talking. And again, there's a difference between people talking and getting your name out there versus matriculation. So don't hear me say we gained any students from this, but we sponsored my daughter at the time. They were second graders and we sponsored her little summer softball league team. And so our name was on all the team shirts. And this was year one. Like, this was the summer after year one. And nothing got them talking about, well, what, who's that? Wait, what? And we were brand new. We were a year old. And people in our town had not even heard of us yet. Where now, when I talk to people, by and large, people say, oh, yeah, I've heard about that. That seems like a great place. Or, you know, like, but there at the beginning, people are going to say, oh, wait, what? And so doing things like, if you've got kiddos, sponsoring things.
Sponsor their team.
Yeah. Do stuff like that to get your name out there.
And contacting local media. That's another avenue you can take. We've got a couple magazines in town that are always really great to reach out to us about things that they're working on, projects they're working on. And we say yes to that most of the time.
Yeah, we do.
Because we want people to know the things that we're doing and sharing that. And with our new high school starting, we're going to showcase that here in a couple of months so that people know that that's out there. So make sure people know you're there and invite them to events or invite them to learn more about what you're doing. And say yes to things. Just say yes to events. Getting your name, wearing your shirt at the event, making sure that people know what you're doing. And people will still say to me, oh, yeah, do you know Kale or do you work at Kale? And I'm like, yeah, I'm one of the owners of Kale. You know, so like true. That sparks that a whole happen. New conversation. So it's fun when you get to say that. And then people get to feel like they're talking to the owner, which is also a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I would say as we wrap it up, it all does come down to word of mouth. You gotta get it out there. People will hear you're doing great things. And 3 years in, there are so many things that we still don't know and we are still learning about every single day. But I think we've grown at a steady pace and we know when to take chances and say yes.
Yes.
You'll learn to trust your gut over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Say yes.
It does. I know. Just say yes. Try new things. Don't be scared to try them. And, you know, I think we've kind of lived on that motto. We have parents who will ask us different things and we're like, sure, we'll try it. You know, like, let's try it and see how it goes. And that's how you innovate. If you get stuck in the same place all the time, that's no fun.
It's not why you did it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's not why you're doing what you're trying to do.
I agree.
Yeah.
So good luck to all of you as you're out there either starting or enrolling for a new year ahead. We'd love to help if we can. So give us a call. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. We've got a micro school Facebook page. And you can find all those on our website, either www.comocale.com, which is our specific school site. And then our larger site is www.caleedco.com. And that has all the things we do, the tutoring and the consulting and the larger work with educators. So go connect with us. We'd love to talk to you.
Yes. And let us know about a micro school conference. I really want to hear about that.
I know.
People have to be interested.
I know. We're talking every day. So we'll have information about the one we're planning here soon. But we got to get all of us together.
Yeah. We want feedback.
That you're interested. And we want to learn. We want to learn from others. And we hope we can help along the way as you're doing your jobs out there. So.
All right.
Good luck. And we'll talk to you soon.